All right, Danny and Dusty with you. This is the Split Show edition, but guess what? We got the band back together on the YouTubes. We're YouTubing now, huh? How about that? We're rolling through on the YouTube cameras are all up. You can see my location here. I am in my makeshift studio in Autzen Stadium, which is awesome. And Danny back in his normal position, or not your normal position. You're sitting where I normally sit on these days.
Indeed.
But back in the studios. It is a big week. It's Civil War week. We got a rivalry game, Oregon State and Oregon in Corvallis, 12:30 kick. And last night the news broke, and Beav fans are now saying, uh-oh. Kind of weird to see it, especially in this day and age. Tyler Volton, the left guard, or right guard, rather, for the Oregon State Beavers, broke on his Instagram that he is done for the year, suffering a knee injury at San Diego State last week and torn ACL MCL for one of the nation's leading rushing teams in all of college football. Beavs rank, I believe it's fourth in attempts and fifth in yards per game rushing the football, and they lose a starting right guard for the season.
It's interesting that he himself chose the path the opposite of the San Francisco 49ers, in that he decided actually disclose an injury when he was supposed to, as opposed to not doing it at all and lying through their teeth. I don't know how much you guys touched on that yesterday. I genuinely hope the 49ers get hit with the biggest possible fine known to man.
The NFL will not investigate it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, they do have enough wiggle room in that he was listed as questionable, and they can, if questionable is essentially a 50-50, he will or will not play. It was, and I felt awful for Jordan Mason, because he just, you know, either he misspoke or they told him he was going to start on Friday, and you know, like the 49ers can also say, yeah, we told him he's going to start, but that doesn't mean McCaffrey wasn't going to play.
Uh-huh, sure.
And that's all, but that's all they need to say.
Yeah.
And that's, that covers their bases and it covers their rear. So I don't believe it, but at the same time, that's why the NFL is going to say, well, there's nothing much we can do about it. But as it pertains to Oregon State, I mean, this is a big one. Flavio Gonzalez is going to step in. He's a senior offensive lineman, redshirt senior, and he did come in and he did play against San Diego State. And, the problem with Oregon State right now is when Jonathan Smith left and you saw the transfer portal exodus, you saw so many players leave, that cuts away at your depth. And Oregon State has been, to some, surprising, but to anybody and everybody that's been watching, wildly consistent in the way that they've played, especially on both sides of the line of scrimmage in the first 2 weeks. To take that hit in your depth when your schedule is ramping up and you are going to be playing the best teams on your schedule in the upcoming weeks, this is a big hit for Oregon State, because having this happen during a week two game against San Diego State, now your depth on the offensive line is razor thin, and they can't afford to have more guys get dinged up and more guys nicked up. And I think that this is a big injury for the Beavs. And if not for this week, moving forward and over the course of the season.
Yeah, this isn't, Oregon State's not operating like a lower division team with 45 scholarship players, but the difference in drop-off when you're one of those teams in that transitionary period, it can be dramatic. Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State mentioned, he lost one of his linebackers, and the quote he had after the game when he had a guy come in, a transfer to replace him, was, "Do you want me to be honest, or do you want me to be coach speak?" And basically dropped I'm being honest, we got him because he was cheap. And it's like, yeah, that's the reality, I think, if you're looking at certain things around in the transfer portal and mobility and depth. There's a constant juggling act of what you want to do and how you want to do it. And Oregon State's in that spot right now where they can't reinforce, they can't buttress that and have that. I mean, hell, Oregon is dealing with it, and they have significantly more resources and the better potential to address those things. And it's something that they're dealing with. So it kind of paints the perspective of where the Beavs are at and how detrimental this can be to them. Like, it's great that they were able to keep Josh Gray, but, you know, you put Fuaga in the NFL, and
To least Fuaga has been playing. He played lights out week one.
Exactly. And so you're already struggling to replace one guy, and then you're struggling to replace other guys that have left. And what the monster kid from Colorado's come in and been above board. You know, I think it's one of those situations where if you're the Beavs, you're just kind of hoping and praying. But on the flip side, Flavio Gonzalez is one of the most kick-ass names I've ever heard in my entire life. And so I'm just going, I'm going to root for the guy because his name rules.
Dude, one of my best friends from college, his name was Kyle, and his parents almost named him Flavius. And I still think that was the wrong call to go Kyle instead of Flavius. Flavio Gonzalez is a phenomenal name. And this guy's been, I mean, he's gone through it, man. He has been through two junior colleges. He, you know, played last year at Oregon State. And I think it was six games. He's a guy that did stick around, and he's played really well through the first 2 weeks, albeit in limited snaps. Guy, it's not like you're throwing in a guy who has not played yet, right? He's played in about half the snaps this season for Oregon State, and he's an above-average run blocker. He is, through the first couple of games, he's been solid in pass pro, but still not one of your anchors. I think Pro Football Focus had him graded out as, of offensive linemen, he was the lowest graded in pass protection of any of the offensive linemen. But again, line grades on Pro Football Focus can be a little bit misleading because they don't know the intricacies of calls and protection slides and all of that.
Expectations.
What they are doing is guy versus guy and saying and basically guessing on what they were asked to do in that protection. But on the same side and the same token, you know, he has played well enough through the first two games. Here's the deal though, as a 60-minute game goes on and you have a guy who's already playing about half your snaps so far this year, what does that depth look like? Kyle DeVan's work is going to be cut out for him this week and the rest of the season when you start dabbling into that depth a little bit more and a little bit more, because now you don't have your rotations get thinner. This is your first guy up. I mean, we've been seeing this with Oregon for the first couple of weeks, right? When you have two guys on the interior offensive line that are out, and Dan Lanning has said it, like, yeah, we always rotate guys in. That's the thing about line play now. It's like you don't just stick the same five uglies out every single play for an entire game. Nobody really does that anymore.
It's really interesting that the rotation of it. They were talking about that on was that Friday night's game? It might have been Friday. It might have been the Eagles Packers, or it was the Sunday night game. I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about how in the past you had, you know, a DB that might stay on the field for basically the entire game, and then you might have, you know, a linebacker that would stay on the field for the entire game. Or you know, 90%+ of snaps. He's like, and they mentioned nobody does that. Like nobody, like
your tackles will.
It was the 49er game. It was Monday night because they were talking about Fred Warner. He is one of the only guys who stays on the field at all times. Basically, plays all snaps.
Well, and especially on the interior offensive line now, because you know you have a left tackle. And your left tackle is, you've got one side that you're worried about, right? You're not getting twists and stunts coming from both sides and getting banged up in that regard. But also, defensive line rotations, offensive lines have had to adapt to what defenses are doing, which is you rotate rushers in to have fresh legs in. It's like hockey line changes, right? If there's an extended drive, you're going to get fresh legs in. And offensive lines, you won't do it in the middle of a drive, but you've got to be comfortable enough to say, all right, how do we keep our guys fresh and keep our legs fresh throughout the entirety in the course of a game? If a defense is doing it, offenses have adjusted and adapted to that as well. You look at where Oregon State's been so far this season. Josh Gray, He doesn't move. He's not a guy that you're going to rotate in and out. He is an anchor at left guard. Volton has played 88 snaps this year. Van Wells has played 98 snaps at center. You've had Vincic, the backup center, has played 56. Flick Gonzalez has played 77. And then your tackles, you've kind of had a little bit of a revolving door. Lichtenhahn has played 114. Stark has played 97 snaps. Strand has played 87 snaps. You're seeing that rotation on the Oregon State offensive line. The thing that you got to keep your radar up on, though, they've only played three guards, and now you only have two, right? Mm-hmm. So how does this look over the course of the rest of the season? I don't know. I think that in the immediacy, I don't think it's as dire of a situation because you've played Gonzalez at in a bulk of games. He's played about half of your offensive snaps already this season. So if he's playing half of your offensive snaps, you obviously feel very comfortable
There's
with him.
There's some faith there.
He was a name that just kept popping up over fall camp and all that stuff, too. So in the immediacy, I don't think it's that big of an issue or smash the panic button if you're Oregon State. But as the game wears on Saturday and as the season wears on, that depth in the war of attrition is really going to be tested for the Beavs moving forward, because you have to have those bodies in. You really do. And now you're down to two guards that you've played in games through the first 2 weeks of the season. We'll see what happens come Saturday and who the next man up is in that rotation.